My name is Catherine Felt. I live in Kenai. I am here to discuss an idea outside of this box of it's your PFD or services. This is a false choice. Framing the argument this way is wrong, short-sighted, and lazy. There's a lot of debate surrounding budget cuts, as there should be. Alaskans have demanded to see an economic impact analysis of these cuts. There's a lot of concern out there about protecting the vulnerable and the poor. Many have expressed that cuts should be equitable and well thought out. But an equally important discussion needs to take place, and that is about the various revenue options. If cutting all the way to a balanced budget doesn't pan out, as I suspect it won't, we will need revenue. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, who pays for government spending? So let's take a look at who pays for spending with PFD cuts. Taxes on the PFD is a regressive income tax that requires the lowest income earners to pay the highest income tax rate, and the highest income earners pay the lowest tax rate. Taxing the PFD puts the cost burden of funding government almost entirely on the backs of middle to lower income families. Let's use your numbers of balancing the budget with a $630 PFD payout. A very low income family of four contributing $9,480 from their PFDs, making $20,000 a year, pays an eye-popping 47% tax rate. A lower middle-income family making $34,000 a year pays a 27% tax rate. Middle income making $58,000 a year pays a 16% rate. Upper middle, $95,000 a year, pays a 10% rate, while the top 20% income bracket, making $250,000 a year, pays a rate at 3.8%. How is that fair, equitable, or moral? It's not. How does this protect the poor and the vulnerable? It doesn't. Under your $1,600 PFD payout plan, which is equal to a $1,400 PFD cut per person, 80% of Alaska households will pay more than they would under a flat tax. I support a broad-based flat income tax based on adjusted gross income. It would apply to income received by non-residents. It reduces the share of money taken out of the private sector and results in all Alaskans contributing a proportionate share of their income. So for those of you that are here to say, I want services and I'm willing to pay for them, if you are willing to pay your fair share for spending, you will say you are willing to pay an income tax. Because when you say you are willing to take a PFD cut to pay for services, you're really advocating for a regressive income tax that puts the cost burden almost entirely on the backs of middle to lower income families like mine. I urge you all to demand more of your legislators, demand to see an economic impact analysis of all revenue options, so together we can make informed decisions about our future. Let's not be so quick to risk and destroy Alaska's greatest achievement and legacy, which is our permanent fund and its dividend. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. So, ladies and gentlemen, so at this point we have 35 testifiers left, which equates to about an hour and 45 minutes, and we have about an hour and 15 minutes left to go. Representative Edgman and Johnson have to catch a flight back out. So, not to offend anybody, but we're going to start limiting public testimony to 2 minutes. So I'm trying to give you a heads up so you can start consolidating your comments, and we'll just run a little bit late, but we should be able to get through all of them at that point. So Mr. Martin, Ed Martin, will be next up. And then we got Claudia, I can't read your last name. PEA. As Pearson, you'll be up right after Mr. Martin. Let me see who I got after her. Mitch, Michael, is it?
Michelle.
Michelle, okay. Right up after that. Amy Stock. Dave Peek, Paul Hartley. That's the cue, if you guys can. So, Mr. Martin, whenever you're ready, please.
Okay, my name's Ed Martin. I live in Sterling. I'll try and be quick here. First off, I'd like to say don't touch a PFD without the vote of the people. My grandfather, Ed Martin Sr., 20 years ago, on his own dime, got thousands of signatures and brought them to Juneau, forcing a vote. It was a landslide. History repeats itself. Take note. Second, I think we all understand that we have to live within our means. The governor has showed you what that looks like. Now I see that the legislature, for the fourth year in a row, is taking a lazy approach, trying to convince the public to reach into our pockets to support your downfall. I see a woe is me slideshow. Why am I not seeing some proposed bills to fix the gap? If you want to support the same standard of life, you must provide opportunity and promote new wealth simultaneously with cuts. Less than 1% of land in Alaska is in the private sector. That's a serious problem. New wealth comes from one place, Mother Earth. If you want to keep the high budget, you must find revenue outside of the box. We must end the stifling of industry. We have a mining industry begging to start production. All we have done is stop it before it even got a chance. Just across the border, Canada has a vibrant, renewable resource that is a booming industry, timber. We let that industry die here. Alaska has more natural resources than any other state. There's no reason that we aren't the richest state in the union. The governor has showed you the problem. It's your job to find a solution. You must treat the state as a business. In a down economy, you sell down your assets till you have something manageable. Sell state land, promote industry. The three-legged stool has got weak legs. We must diversify. There is no reason we cannot reap the benefits of the royalties of our natural resources. All our resources, not just oil. Alaska should be open for business. Don't be a land baron asking for taxes. Be a leader and show us the way. You give a man a fish, he eats for a day. You show him how to fish, he never goes hungry.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Claudia.
Hello, my name is Claudia Pearson, and I live in Homer. My name is Claudia Pearson, I live in Homer. I love working in education for the Kenai Peninsula College at the Kachemak Bay campus in Homer. But tonight, I am speaking as a lifelong Alaskan who was born in Alaska over 45 years ago and have lived here all my life. As I look around this packed room tonight, I have to ask how many have ever used a public state-funded resource in Alaska? How many? Very likely, every one of us has. And then I have to ask, how many of us have ever had to pay one penny to use those resources and pay for roads, parks, trails, ports, airports, railroads? The list goes on and on. And very likely, the answer is not one single cent. Alaska had a state income tax, but in 1980, under Governor Jay Hammond, the Alaska personal income tax was abolished. And 2 years later, in 1982, Alaska received the first PFD paychecks. Fast forward 37 years to today, and as Alaskans, we have received $21 billion in the form of PFD paychecks into our bank accounts. Let me say that again. As Alaskans, we have received $21 billion into our bank accounts. And yet, many of us, myself included, are here tonight in a state of despair. Why? Because we are facing unprecedented job loss, cuts to essential community functions, and loss to Alaskan way of life. Many of us, that makes Alaska great for us, and that's why we're here. And the irony is that if we lose our jobs and are forced to move out of state and more than likely have to pay a state income tax anywhere we go in the lower 48, and for sure, all of us who are forced to leave will lose our PFDs as well. That's the irony of what's happening. I believe the time has come as Alaskans that have received all this money since the inception of the PFD really have to consider paying our fair share. And I, for one, am willing to pay a state income tax. I want to stay in Alaska. This is my home, and I don't want to have to go anywhere else. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming to visit us. My name is Mitch Michaud. My affiliation is education, university, classical education. I am a part-time employee at Kenai Peninsula College. I just retired, and I have years of college classical education. My wife is employed as a librarian at KPC. I have two children, one at UAF and one at UAA. I have attended 4 different colleges, and I just retired, and now I'm giving back to the community. So I'd like to read to you a quick quote from Thomas Jefferson. "The most effectual means of preventing the perversion of power into tyranny is to illuminate, as far as practical, the minds of the people at large, and more especially to give them knowledge to these facts about history exhibits that possess thereby." Next quote I'd like to read occurred 230 years later, and this was from Barack Obama. "An informed and educated citizenry is essential to the functioning of our modern democratic society, and I encourage education and community institutions across the country to help fund America, to help Americans find and evaluate the information they seek. We live in an era of false facts. We hear things immediately on the internet. We believe them as true. We need a better informed public. One of the things that I do every year when the voter guide comes out, I go through and I see who has had formal education beyond high school. I then look at how many of these individuals, these politicians, went to the University of Alaska system. And sadly, very few of them have. And that should actually wonder, and it should be really noticeable to the university leadership as to why these people are not rising to the occasion to serve in the legislature, to take control of the state they actually were educated in. I went to the University of Maine. The governor of Maine, John Baldacci, was in the same dormitory I was in. A second cousin of mine, Mike Michaud, is a congressman in Washington today. We are missing the boat on investing in classical education. Welding is great, but it still involves critical thought and thoughts and right ideas. The best investment we can do, how you balance the budget, is to fund education at all levels. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Amy Stock. I'm super nervous, I'm sorry. I live in Nikiski, and I'm just here to support our small schools. I'm married to a Nikiski graduate. I have 4 children that have attended Nikiski. Most of Nikiski is not here tonight because they are celebrating our girls being in the state championship, which is super cool for our small schools. I have a nephew who also graduated from Nikiski, and Nikiski was one of the first schools to get a CAD/CAM program, which when he graduated, he didn't go to college right away, but he got a job on the oil field due to this CAD/CAM program, making over $100,000 a year, and they encouraged him to go to college. Our small schools are so huge for our children. They are our community. They are our heart. You take away these schools, you take away a town. You're taking away a town, and it's really sad. I do not like the governor's budget, obviously. I do believe in sales tax, income tax. Tax the people who are coming from out of state, working on the slope. They don't even live here. I personally know a handful of individuals who live Oregon, Wisconsin, Texas. They fly here, they work, they make money, they go home. Their home is not here. There's other ways to make revenue for our state, Powerballs. I don't know, but there's gotta be something that we can do besides cut our towns and cut our schools and cut our futures of our children. That's all.
Representative Knopp, Speaker Edgman, and Representative Johnson. My name is Paul Hartley. I am a District 30 registered voter, lives in Kenai. I'm a 20-year Alaskan. I lead a statewide self-supporting nonprofit with over 30 locations in state. I'm here speaking individually, though. I can summarize my desires in just a few seconds here, I think. I am in support of cutting the budget. I'm not sure if we need to go to the extent that our governor is proposing, but as families and individuals, we have to live within our income. So does the state. And I'm sure there are numerous places that we can trim the budget in state government and possibly some other places that the state is responsible for. Our university system, we're experiencing falling enrollment, low graduation rates, a major program losing its accreditation. You all know that. In fiscal year 2016, our state general fund appropriation was twice the national average. Some salaries for administrators and educators are in excess of $300,000 per year. Over 80 university employees, over $200,000 per year. I serve as a trustee for a private college in the lower 48. I understand that higher education has its challenges today. We need to look into being more efficient in our educational delivery systems. I'm not sure of what our state online delivery system is, but we could enhance our abilities far beyond what I think we have in offering online education to our students and not building so many campuses. Yes, I believe even our state public education K-12 system needs some adjustments. In 2016-17, Alaska ranked 9th highest in state funding for education of 50 states. In 2017, that per student funding was $21,261 per student, the third highest in the United States. The average salaries of teachers in 2016-17 was $68,138, eighth highest in the United States. Yet with those stats, and I believe teachers deserve their pay, I get that. With those stats, Alaska is ranked 46th in education among all states. One other area, I believe we deserve to award every Alaskan their PFD. Why? Because I believe it's unfair to take children's PFDs. And those who are in favor of saying they'd willingly give up their PFD, then I would fully support SB 92 and let those who want to simply donate it to the state's general fund. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hartley. So I see Speaker Chenault has joined us, and I did promise him a cookie, so I hope he sees him back there. So I had a Mr. Peck, right? Okay, you kind of got out of sync. Thank you, sir. Please. Okay.
My name is Dave Peck, and I live in Kenai. I think the governor's budget that was proposed is actually a good thing. And it's maybe the cuts may be extreme, but we're all here. We're all here tonight talking about it. And I think that's good. I don't like the idea of an income tax. I've lived in places before there has been an income tax, and it's expensive. It's on top of all your other taxes that you might have to pay, bonds, federal income tax, sales tax, and every other kind of tax comes up. It can be a problem if you're medium income or less. And I know it can be progressive, however, there's such a tendency to increase it as time goes by. That's money right out of your pocket, out of your family's pocket, before you can decide if you want to spend it or if you want to save it. We don't have that many residents in Alaska. I realize that the, we've got the summer workers and that who come up here. But still, the residents would be paying it, and that could be a hardship. On the ferry system, real quick, I used to live in Southeast in Petersburg, but everyone uses the ferry, but I do think that there's ways it could be adjusted and downsized and get the spending under control. One idea I had, I don't know if it's possible, but if we coordinated with the BC ferry system, there's a lot of overlap in the routes. Maybe that might help it. Keep the ferry system, cost less, but yet you also have access on the ferry system. If we were have to cut education, I'd rather see if there has to be a priority of cuts, I'd rather see the local schools get the money and also the community college, and if the larger university had to take some cuts, it just seems like there's a lot more money in that area. I think that's it. I'm out of time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. B. Appreciate it. Dave Atkinson, and then Rob Ernst, Becky Hooper, is it? Becky, and then we got Sherry Smith. And Ms. McGinnis. Keep going, and then Laura Reiner should fill the seats. Put your name on the record, please. Okay.
Yeah, Dave Atchison. I live in Sterling. And I just want to say that we're already feeling the effects of cuts. I live outside of town in a rural area, 5 and 10 acre tracts. And not too long ago, I heard screaming coming through the woods. And it was unfortunately a drug incident somewhere down the road. I called the troopers. The dispatcher said, oh, I'll tell the trooper. I don't know how many were on duty. She said, the trooper, and call back if it gets worse. Well, I wouldn't have called unless it was a serious incident. And thankfully, another neighbor probably called, and the troopers did come. So my point of this is that we're already feeling cuts, and I want the troopers to come when I call them. I want education funded, because we're going to have more crime if we have 40 kids in a classroom, because anybody that's spending time in a classroom knows that nobody gets an education if there's that many kids in a classroom. It doesn't work. The governor's budget is a fantasy if you want to have any kind of real life. The university should be funded. I don't know if anybody was here 20 or 30 years ago. They called it the brain drain because everybody sent their kids outside. Nobody would send their kids to the university who could afford not to. And that's changed because the state spent money to get instructors, to researchers, and that costs money. But now the university has a good reputation, and it has great instructors. And, you know, we got to decide what we want. So am I willing to use part of my permanent fund for that? Yes. I think that should be the last thing, though, because that only affects Alaskans. A wage or income tax, well, first, I think, get rid of the oil tax credits. Next, an income tax or wage tax will we'll get money from everybody. A third of the people that work on the slope live out of state. A quarter of everybody who works in Alaska lives out of state. Guides and commercial fishermen who use our docks, use our roads, people that work on the slope that are reaping the rewards of Alaska should have to pay too. I work for a couple weeks in the summer for Brown University. I pay tax to Rhode Island. I've never stepped foot in Rhode Island. Why aren't we taxing all these people that are using our resources and taking the money out of state along with us? And so also a seasonal sales tax might be worth looking into and other things. I'm willing to pay for to having a good life here. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
My name's Rob Ernst. I live in Nikiski. I've lived there for 51 years, born in Fairbanks. Thank you for coming and providing an actual democratic format where we can exchange. This is in contrast to what's happening on Monday, where outside interests are apparently running the show. But be that as it may. I would like to address the idea of revenue in Alaska. And you have this history of funding state services in Alaska, and it's a nice graph. And it also, it's missing one of the services that we provide here in the state, and that is oil tax credits and subsidies to multinational, multi-billion dollar oil corporations. These subsidies make Alaska the most profitable oil province in the world, the most profitable. So we need to look at these oil tax credits specifically and immediately, because you have here where Alaska spends $14 billion from savings. That's when SB 21 started. It's clear as day, and it's unintentionally provided on this chart. So that is one source of revenue that we need to address, and that would be actually make it so we had no deficit this year. That's one thing. But I think that we, the Alaskans, need to realize that the party's over and we need to get some skin in the game as well. So besides reforming SB 21 and the oil tax credit schedule, because the price of oil is probably not going to go up very much more, and when it's low, SB 21 triggers these per barrel credits. We need to also address personal income, income tax, to capture all of the revenue that is going out of the state with people that don't live here. And also, the permanent fund is another source. So we can balance this out and we can keep our services from the government, because every, I've heard again and again that the state government wastes money, wastes it. Every dollar spent in Alaska is money that goes into the Alaskan economy. When we ship things out of state, we, for instance, the prisons, Nikiski has a, or Kenai has a prison, they want to close it. That's money that goes out of the state. It does not circulate. Every state job, every teacher, everybody that contribute that has it provides a service funded by the state are people that spend money in our community. They buy houses, they buy groceries, and they create the economy in many, many, many places in Alaska. So please think about those reforms. We do not need the draconian, as has been said before, cuts that are outlined here, especially when we're not gathering over $1.5 billion in revenue a year to give to multinationals. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ernst. Miss Hooper, did I have that correct?
Becky Hooper, Becky, yes, Hooper, from Nikiski.
Please put yourself
in the right. And I'm trying to shorten my little spiel here for time. I will agree, the governor's budget proposal is draconian. And it seems to target some of our most vulnerable populations and our public education system. And that's our future. I have grandchildren in the Nikiski schools, and the thought of them and the other children with them having larger class sizes, no extracurricular activities, less access to technology, even closed schools, is appalling. Our children and grandchildren deserve better than this. I'm also concerned about the impact of these cuts on our communities. Families will move away. Businesses will fail. Our sense of community will flounder. So where should we get the money for all these things we need? I would support any or all of the following potential revenue sources. First, an income tax, which for Alaska residents, that is a percent of the federal income tax that they pay. A very simple one-page form. You don't have to pay an accountant hundreds of dollars to do it. And it would be progressive. Higher earning people would be paying more federal tax, and therefore their state tax would be higher. Excuse me. Along with that, we would need a wage tax for non-Alaska residents so that those workers on the slope from outside get a percentage of their earnings withheld and paid as taxes. I do think we should cut the per barrel oil tax credits. We could do a statewide sales tax, but if we do so, I think we need to not tax essential things such as groceries and medical care and baby supplies and clothing, maybe, because we don't want it to be an undue burden on the lower income people. And last, we could reduce the PFD. That wouldn't bother me a bit, but I think it is the most regressive of those options. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Knopp, Vice Chair Johnson, and Speaker Edgman, thank you very much. My name is Sherry Smith. I live in Kenai. I have lived in Kenai for close to 50 years, grew up in Anchorage. I am also the Executive Director of the Lee Shore Center in Kenai, which is a victim service agency providing emergency shelter for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. So as many of you know, probably in this room, our agency has been in existence since the well, I guess 34 years, so we've been here a long time. I want to speak a little bit about how the governor's proposed budget will affect our agency and those individuals that we serve. As you heard from Leslie Rohr, who's the director of Love, Inc., we work really closely together and try to provide those support services for individuals who are homeless for a variety of reasons, could be domestic violence, sexual assault. I think for a lot of people, I don't know how many people I've talked with over the years, but a lot of people are only a couple paychecks away from being homeless. And yet the governor's budget, when you really look at those things that are being cut, are those basic essential services that really we all have the right to. An education for our children, food, a home over our heads. And, you know, unfortunately, I very much disagree with what the proposal is, because all of those cuts go to taking away those services that are critical for people who are struggling or people who are in need of those services, our senior citizens. So I think we've heard here a number of, I think, really great suggestions for increasing revenue in the state. And I hope that you take that back and know that the cost for Alaskans with this cut is going to affect a great many number of people. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Smith.
Good evening. My name is Laura McGinnis from Nanalchik, Alaska. 17 years ago, I arrived in Nanalchik, Alaska, the victim of domestic violence, and it became my safe haven. I did rely heavily for the first 6 months that I was here on the services that are looking at being cut right now. In the last 17 years since then, I have paid back and paid forward. For all of you who do know me, you know that I am very passionate about education, our youth, and the right to emergency services here on the Kenai Peninsula. Right now, I'm going to focus on the education cuts. I keep hearing arguments that our scores aren't up to par, that standardized tests are not showing a representation of what we do. And I have to ask, as the parent of a special ed student and a foster parent, we have the highest per capita of fetal alcohol effect students. And if those students' scores are being counted into our failing scores or our education system, we're looking at the wrong statistics. Anyone who has taken a statistics class knows we can skew them to say whatever we want by looking at our pool. Secondly, I would ask you, are tests a representation of your intelligence? Because they are not of mine. I will fail a test, and yet I graduated magna cum laude from Alaska Pacific University. Secondarily, I would say that I have and am willing to pay for all of these services. I think we all are. None of us expect something for free. We don't want to be on a welfare system. We need to pay for these services. That's income tax, that's sales tax, that's our PFD. My 19-year-old who graduated from Nanalchik last year and is now attending KPFC went to fill out his PFD form for the first time and said, oh, I have the opportunity to give it all to education, and went to give it all. And I stopped him because I want to see how that money's spent before he gives it all away, and I want him to have the opportunity to give that money to his targeted school. Please fund our education. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Laura Reiner. I live in Kenai. And I first want to say thank you for visiting parts of the state and listening, and thank you for you and other members of the legislature for doing the difficult and sometimes unpopular work of building consensus and doing what is best for the residents of the state. So thank you. I think, you know, money is an indicator of value, and how we spend our money, it shows what we care about as a community. And as a nearly lifelong resident, I was born here. I went to college out of state, but I've been in Alaska for the majority of my life. I am willing to pay for the services that I value. I am willing to pay an income tax. And I am willing to pay for the things that I think make our communities strong, vibrant communities, and keep young Alaskans in the state. I agree that our expenditures should align with our revenues, and it's frustrating to see our revenues rely heavily on a single resource where the price fluctuates greatly from year to year, and the tax structure is completely out of whack. We've had a lot of folks talk about restructuring oil and gas taxes. I think we need to examine that as a possible source of revenue and look at diversifying our revenue streams. It seems clear from a lot of folks who've spoken here that there are a certain level of community services and state services that we value and that we are willing to pay for. Personally, I would speak in support of the local education system. I'm a graduate of KPBSD. I went to college out of state and then came back and worked at district office for 7 years in the special education department. I see many of the teachers and support staff that I worked with here in this room. And I know from firsthand experience, we have really wonderful staff in our district. We have, you know, one of the higher performing districts in the state, and I would hate to see us lose quality staff because we're not demonstrating that we value and care about education in our state. So thank you for the opportunity for letting us be here and give our opinions.
Thank you. LaShawn Evans, Peggy Irkinoff, and Brian, can't read your last name, Krankus? Brian, you'll be up there. And Vidal Baker, you guys to come up. And when you're ready, okay. Ma'am, just put your name on the record for me.
Sure. My name is LaShawn Evans. I'm from Soldotna. Thank you for being here tonight. I'm the mother of 5 children, and we moved to Alaska in 2007, and we moved to the peninsula in 2011. My husband's a physician here in town. He works at the hospital. And we had opportunities to live anywhere across the country. We literally had job offers from Maine to Alaska, and we chose to come to Alaska because of the unique opportunities that were here and because we felt like it was a good place to raise our children. When we made those decisions, the very first thing before we ever looked at any job offer was the state of the education system in the place we were moving to. I went through and spent a lot of time going through and looking at what was offered by the schools, the programs, the sports, the theater, the arts, all of the different opportunities for our families. And and we've been very thrilled to raise our children here. I have a senior who graduated last, or a child who graduated last year. I have a kindergartner and several in between. With my husband being a physician, often when the hospital will be recruiting new physicians, we are invited to come have dinner with those potential candidates as they are considering moving to our community. And inevitably, their first questions are about the school systems in our community. And if they're serious, they usually give them my number and they call me and we'll have a lengthy discussion about the state of our schools. I know that's not unique to medicine. All of our most engaged families value education and our children. And these are the parents and families who will not come to or stay in communities where our schools have been gutted. These are our parents who volunteer and serve, and I encourage you to fully fund our education system. Thank you.
Thank you.